from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Hey, fantasy football owners. Anybody can tell you what a good fantasy quarterback looks like, but it's the receivers that make or break your team. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that matters most, wide receivers. From the route trees to who plays better in man or zone, we provide the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Big Ten Media Week with Danny and Dusty.
Rooted in substance, not flash. Rooted in substance. Today, we talk with our pads.
Brought to you by the Odyssey app. Jump back to earlier parts of your favorite fan shows on the Odyssey app. The only way to rewind Portland's sports leader.
Big Ten Media Week with Danny and Dusty on 1080.
You're top of your moments, right? Every moment.
The Fan.
12 o'clock hour. We're normally just getting started, but we're 2 hours in already. It's Big Ten Media Days. The Oregon Ducks and the Washington Huskies, the forerunners today for those on the Pacific Coast. Over my shoulder right now, looking at Big Ten Media Days. Washington is at the dais at the TV desk, and I have yet to see the name. Oh, it is Jonah Coleman at the desk right now with a giant diamond encrusted medallion, the size of both my fists.
He's a big dude.
And he has got bling in both ears and the Rolly all completely iced out. He is winning the attention getter of the day.
He's got the, it's like the size of Flava Flav's clock, but he is just a larger human being than Flava Flav.
And he's got,
and so it's
got
more
the,
proportionate.
He's got the rope chain, but it's not like the skinny rope. It's like actual rope thickness, and it's laden with diamonds. I think I mentioned the story about DeAndre Ayton putting his chain in my hand last year.
Yeah,
when I said it sounded heavy, and he said, "You want to hold it?" And it was like holding $300,000 in my hands. That's basically the same thing that Jonah Coleman's got going right there.
And he's one of the guys that followed Jed Fish.
In other words, the NIL in Arizona, pretty good.
Yeah, followed him from Arizona up to UW. I think that may just be the indicator the NIL at UW is better. But it's really fun to kind of see. This is the new world, too, of NIL that we haven't really discussed, is that these guys, they're suited and booted way better than they ever. They used to show up to Media Day like in a team-branded polo.
Yeah.
And
whatever,
like,
they were kind of
whatever slacks they had.
Yeah.
These guys are all suited and booted now. And I for one, am so happy that is
they're getting
available
sponsored.
To
I mean,
them
you
now.
Heard Dylan. He mentioned whoever it was that dressed him.
Yeah.
Like that's what happens now. These guys are all getting dressed by companies and stylists, and they're getting paid
Gabriel
for it.
Always also at that at the Dimes retreat, Dime Time retreat, he iced out. He has a deal with the jeweler. he got all of his receivers. He got him a little, bling.
A little bling.
That's fun.
I like it.
Jed Fish, the head coach of the Huskies, though, he went to the podium today, and we want to play a chunk of that for you before we get to Pat Chun, the athletic director at the University of Washington, because Fish is an electric guy. And if you don't know much about him from his days at Arizona, if you weren't listening to Pac-12 Media Day the last 2 years when we talked to him as a head coach of Arizona, he's a dynamic person. You see why he is such a good recruiter, why he relates to people so well. So we're going to give you Jed Fish today at Big Ten Media Days, introducing himself to the conference.
Good afternoon, and thank you. It's great to be here in the Big Ten. Washington football is ecstatic to being a part of this conference. I'd like to take this opportunity to start off by just saying that this experience and this opportunity to be the head football coach at the University of Washington, being the first year of joining the Big Ten, is an absolute privilege. And I don't take it lightly. I'm extremely excited about this opportunity and believe that we have a great football team that we'll be able to showcase and compete for championships year in and year out. Washington is among the elite football programs in the country. It's indisputably one of the greatest public universities academically and athletically. And I really believe that when President Calce made the decision to join the Big Ten, we put ourselves in a position to be an elite class and with an elite group of teams. We brought a fantastic group of three players here with us today. Really proud of the guys. As I got hired in January, I started learning so much about our team and about our players and about the group of guys that we were going to be able to bring here today. And three that we brought are pretty special. We brought Cam Fabiculainen, a safety that's been a part of Washington football for 6 years. He was recruited by Chris Peterson, coached by Jimmy Lake and Kalen DeBoer, and now chose to stay for his final year and be coached by us. He's somebody that could bring unbelievable spectrum of ideas and thoughts and values to our program, and believe that his leadership will help us achieve our goals. The next person I brought was Carson Bruner, one of our top linebackers. Carson's established his own legacy, although he's a legacy player where his dad was a 14-year NFL veteran, one of the greatest Washington Huskies that we've had. Mark Bruner. Carson's done an incredible job since I've gotten here, making sure that our program and what Washington football has been about for years meshes together. And then I brought Jonah Coleman with us. Jonah was a running back for us at the University of Arizona. He was a part of our recruiting class of 2022, which I would say changed Arizona's football program. And when we picked up and we left to come to University of Washington, Jonah came with us. And Jonah is one of the best players, best running backs in college football. Statistically, led the nation in yards per carry a year ago. One of the highest graded players in Pro Football Focus. And on top of that, just finished his last quarter with a 4.0 and is on the Dean's List. And really proud of Jonah and the jumps that he's made as a person. We have a phenomenal coaching staff. Most of the guys have coached together for years. We were able to bring 21 staff members with us from our last spot. The three coaches we weren't able to bring, we brought two coaches from the New England Patriots and the linebacker coach from Alabama to fill out our staff. The coaches we brought with us on offense have been together for 4 years. We've coached every game together since I've been a head coach at all five position groups. So proud of that, that those guys were a part of a 1-11 to 10-3 transition where we ended up finishing 11th in the country. Defensively, was able to bring John Richardson and Jason Kafusi with us, two outstanding football coaches. And then, as I said, filled in with Steve Belichick, Vinny Sinceri, and Robert Bala. This group came here to University of Washington because we believe in Husky football. We believe that we have a chance and an opportunity to win championships like we have in the past. This is a program that's won two national championships. It's a program that's won 18 conference championships. And this is a program that we believe will continue on that track. Each of us expect a ton from our student athletes. Our program is built on becoming a pro, a professional in life. Our players are expected to act like pros. They're trained to be pros. They're trained to be pros by coaches who have coached in the National Football League for over 100 years. And we know that if we train them to be a professional, whether that's the NFL or a professional in life, they're going to have a fantastic rest of their time. We teach our players to always have the values of respect and accountability. Everything we do is for the University of Washington. And we say it's all about the W in work, the W in winning, and the W in Washington. We take great pride in our state. Washington football has beaten Oregon the last three times we've played. We've beaten Texas the last two times we've played. We've beaten USC the last two times we played, and we're coming off winning 25 of our last 28 games. We are proud to be Huskies. We are proud to be in the Big Ten Conference, and we feel really good about our future as the college football playoffs begin to take shape. We respect our past, but we are excited about the future. We have to build on all of that success with a brand new team, something that's never been done before in college football. We will have 46 new scholarship athletes on a team that compete in the national championship. We'll have an entire new coaching staff, an entire new training staff, an entire new strength staff, an entire new nutrition staff, and 21 of 22 new starters on August 31st. That has never been done before, and we're excited about that challenge. We have four players on our team that recorded one start, and we are now starting over, and it's a true reboot, but so is college football. It is a whole lot of new. Everything that we're dealing with now with revenue share and NIL, with all the changes in the roster size, we believe it is the perfect time to rebrand and reboot. Washington football right now is in a very unique time, and we all must work to come together as Huskies. We all must work to bring 12 Arizona football players and 36 Washington football players and the other 35 players from 12 different universities together to build this program, and we are excited about that opportunity. We are not shying away from our competition. We will take our great city and our great university everywhere in this country to find players. Recruiting is the lifeblood of our program. We are going to build our team based on high school athletes, and we are going to build our team based on being one of the best recruiting staffs in America. We'll use the portal to fill in holes, but this program is about development, and this program is about finding the best players in the country to help us succeed. I look forward to August 31st. I look forward to our home opener in the Big Ten Conference against Northwestern. And I certainly look forward to being in this stadium once again at some point in time in December. I'll take any questions.
Thank you, Coach. We got second row on your right.
Coach Lynn Harrington with Stay Alive in Power 5. How you doing?
Great.
All right. Welcome to the Big Ten. So let's talk about your quarterback, Will Rogers, you know, who set records at Mississippi State. You know, he played under the late Mike Leach. What kind of production experience and leadership does he bring to the quarterback room, and what kind of piece would he be able to build around with the offense?
Well, he has 40 starts as a college football player. He's the son of a coach. He has an incredible football mind, football acumen. He played in Coach Leach's system for 3 years, and then last year played in a little bit more of a pro-style system where they were able to teach him a little bit more about playing under center and playing with more tight ends. He's brought really a great leadership about him. He has a great ability to communicate the game of football. And what we've asked our quarterbacks to do in years past is control the line of scrimmage, and I think he'll be really good at that as well.
For sure. Over here, Heather Denich with ESPN.
Hello, Heather.
Given the reboot and all of those eye-popping numbers you mentioned about the transition, what are realistic expectations for your team this year?
Well, Heather, you know, for us, I want our team to be the hardest opponent that everybody plays. I want our opponents to feel like they left that game and they played two games in a row. So our expectation is that we're going to be the toughest team that they play every year, every week. And then from there, we'll see. We'll let the score take care of itself. We're not going to count wins and losses right now and try to figure out what that looks like. We tell our team there is no scoreboard. We just need to go out there and play our best games and see what that looks like.
On your left side, Coach, fourth row.
Hey, Coach. Nick Lemkow, Last Word on College Football. Could you talk about some of the challenges in implementing a culture at Washington in a short period of time and maybe how your staff has overcome those this spring and summer?
Yeah, I would say the biggest challenge, of course, is you're taking over a program where Coach DeBoer did such a fantastic job in a short period of time with a veteran team. Those guys were old. We had 13 of those guys playing in the NFL right now. So we had to build a culture with a bunch of guys that have never really started or played in games together that were very meaningful. And we had to teach them what we would expect on a daily basis. And they've embraced it. They've worked extremely hard together. They found a way to really open up their arms and embrace all the different type of players we brought in from all the different communities. So our culture is that. It's a culture of belonging. It's a culture of inclusiveness. And it's a culture of wanting to make sure that if we act and behave in a certain manner, that we understand that we can have a lot of fun competing.
Second row on your right side.
Hey, Coach. Will Decker, LA Football Network. You have some serious NFL lineage on your staff. Brennan Carroll, son of Pete, is your offensive coordinator, and Steve Belichick, son of Bill, on your defensive staff. I was wondering if you could tell me what impresses you about these young men that are trying to follow in their father's footsteps as coaches, and how do you form these relationships with these two young coaches as well?
Well, Brennan and I have coached together in 2011 and 2012 when I was the offensive coordinator at University of Miami. He was our tight end coach. Then we coached together in 2021, 2022, 2023 as our offensive line coach at Arizona. So this is our sixth year together. And Brennan's a fantastic communicator. He understands the game of football extremely well. He does a fantastic job with the offensive line. And he's a great recruiter. Steve and I coached together in New England. When I was coaching for the Patriots, I was the quarterback coach at that time. He was the defensive play caller and linebacker coach. So I had the utmost respect for Steve. I watched him work every day. I saw how good he was at his job. So when he became available, to be able to bring him on board, I used Brennan to recruit him as well. And we felt like we were able to put together two really good football minds. And then obviously it's such an advantage for us when Coach Belichick comes out to practice, Coach Carroll comes out to practice. You've got two of the four or five coaches of the Mount Rushmore of coaches that are completely invested in our football program, which is one of the main reasons that we say that we're going to give players the best chance to go play in the NFL.
That Jed Fish presser, first of all, far better than Deshaun Foster's debut.
Yeah, I think he went a little bit longer.
Went a little bit longer, but he also touched on
everything.
What the criticism of Lincoln Riley was, right?
Mm-hmm.
He said, we hope to be here in December, and then was asked about, you know, how he envisions this team and this season going, and it wasn't anything except for exactly what their main goal is, right? Which is, no, we are going to be relevant, and we're not going to make excuses for schedule or talent deficiencies. Like, the main thing's the main thing, right? Mm-hmm. That's the big coaching mantra now. It's like, it is what it is. It's turned into keep the main thing the main thing.
Yeah.
Mike Tomlin, trademark. But he is hell-bent on, we're not going to change our expectations or what our goals are, mm-hmm. no matter what our roster looks like or what our schedule looks like.
That's what we were talking about earlier, the whole idea of, like, even the coaches in the programs at the bottom air quotes, of the Big Ten are all sitting here saying, you know, Cignetti at Indiana, boy, does he have some lines.
Let's dive into that. we're hoping to get Pat Chun, the athletic director at the University of Washington, coming up in 9 minutes from now. But Kurt Cignetti continued just to fire off quote after quote. This dude, he does not look like a man who would say the things that he says, brimming with confidence.
Love it.
Next on The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame.
Two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly, beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Hey, fantasy football owners. Anybody can tell you what a good fantasy quarterback looks like, but it's the receivers that make or break your team. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive in the position that matters most, wide receivers. From the route trees to who plays better in man or zone, we provide the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we're talking to Kurt Cignetti, Indiana head coach. He has turned into a quote machine.
He is the Indiana head coach who came over from James Madison after a wildly successful run with the Dukes in their transition from FCS into the FBS, 11-1 last year in a bowl victory for the Dukes of James Madison. Now, Cignetti takes over Indiana, and people are like, how do you recruit guys? He's like, just tell them, Google me, man. I'm a really good football coach. Turns out he is.
Google me is such a great line.
Well,
in general,
he's taking it one step further, and you have to feel that he has quite a bit of confidence about this road trip that they will be taking this year in particular, because he was asked specifically about their trip to UCLA, which is their first Big Ten game. They opened the season with FIU and Western Illinois before heading out to Pasadena on September 14th. And Cignetti was asked about the excitement of playing in the Rose Bowl against UCLA. Quote, for all the wrong reasons, we're just going to an old stadium to kick somebody's ass.
It's so good.
This man loves himself some Kurt Cignetti, and I'm for it.
It's fun.
I'm for it. We've heard about, like, and much was made about the overhaul that Colorado made through the transfer portal with Deion Sanders when he came in. We had Jed Fish, who said, you know, 46 new scholarship players coming onto the roster when you take the 28 transfer portal guys, and then that would be 18 of their high school recruiting class coming in. 46 new scholarship guys, 31 scholarship players added for Indiana this year. roster overhauls, it can be done a lot quicker than it used to be, where you'd have to wait like 3 to 4 years to get any sort of results. You can get quasi instant results. Look no further than Colorado. Colorado was in the dregs of college football. Deion comes in, literally everybody's out, new guys are in, and they were markedly improved from year to year, 22 to 23. I mean, they still got their butts kicked in Pac-12 play.
But there's improvement.
They went from 1 to 4 wins.
That's
good.
You
can improve your roster relatively quickly. I love the fact that this dude, zero F's given about what anybody thinks about him or Indiana football.
Well, not only that, this is the guy who, when he was introduced at Assembly Hall in Indiana, came out and said, Michigan sucks and so does Ohio State. It's like, what do you want me to tell you? Tell you how great they are?
No.
I love this guy. He's just coming out here. He's like, this guy sucks. This guy sucks. This guy sucks. And we're the best.
Because you know what this, what he can, irrational confidence.
You have to at Indiana. You have to have it there, because if you don't have that, you can't, because their confidence level, it's in the dirt.
He basically came out and did the F you, F you.
Yeah.
You're cool.
Yeah.
F you, I'm out of here.
Except that when he said you're cool, he pointed to himself.
Yeah. Yeah, he did. He looked in the mirror and goes, you're cool.
You're cool.
Yeah. This guy, if it doesn't work at Indiana, everybody will be like, yeah, he's Indiana.
Yeah.
You know? And then he goes back and he'll take over, you know, a Sun Belt team and he'll be really damn good again. And then, you know, maybe hopefully he gets another shot somewhere else. But this dude, it's not like he's 36 years old either.
No.
I mean, Kurt Cignetti's been around the block a time or two. He is 63. He's 63.
He looks great.
He looks great for 63 years old. But he is 63 that man talks with more confidence than anybody that is the head coach at Indiana should. And I'm here for all of it. I'm here for all of it. You know, when you tell Purdue, Michigan, and Ohio State, y'all suck, and then you back it up with Google me, and then you back it up with we're just going to an old stadium to kick somebody's ass. I'm here for it. I'm here for all of it. All right, we're waiting on the athletic director of the University of Washington, Pat Chun. He is set to join us next from Big Ten Media Days, brought to you in part by Mods PDX. The future of building is here. First is Rust with SportsCenter. Joining us now from Lucas Oil Stadium in Indianapolis at Big Ten Media Days is the athletic director of the University of Washington, Pat Chun, kind enough to join us. How you doing, sir?
Just learned Jason was one of the great point guards at University of Puget Sound history.
I'm learning as we go. Yeah, I did not expect to get thrown into a little bit of Northwest history.
That's co-ed intramural.
Yeah, there we go.
It's all the same swag. Yeah. It's all the same.
I had visions of him and Terry Porter kind of being the same player, but I guess maybe I'm thinking of something else.
Look at that. You go, bringing it back around, Wisconsin Stevens Point legend here in Portland, Terry Porter. Pat, look, this has been a whirlwind for you. 4 months on the job at the University of Washington, almost to the day. I believe it was the 27th of March was
good
your first,
scorekeeping. Yeah,
first day on
impressive.
The gig. Now you're almost 4 months in. What has it been like, this transition where you go from Washington State over to UW and take over this transition into the Big Ten, where you have a lot of familiarity with the conference?
Yeah, like today's probably the day that feels most comfortable, just being back in the Big Ten and seeing a lot of veteran reporters that were in and around Ohio State when I was there, and seeing all these brands and some old faces. But, you know, it has been a very, very seamless transition for me and my family. The nice thing for us is we made lifelong friends that are Cougs, that are in Seattle. Also, as you guys know, in the Northwest, Seattle's kind of the epicenter of the state, even though it's west. So, like, my girls have had friends in town for, you know, concerts and volleyball tournaments and soccer tournaments. So, it's been the easiest place for our family to have moved. And for the athletic department, it's, you know, I come in at a pretty unique time. It's, you know, we've had turnover in with 3 ADs, 2 football coaches, 2 basketball coaches. But I remind the staff, It's you know, we made it to, you know, this is also an athletic department that won the Pac-12 in football. You know, I'm quick to remind people here that today there's two defending conference champions here today at this media day. We just happen to be the one of the conference that is not what it used to be. And, you know, we won back-to-back men's track and field championships in the Pac-12 and a national championship in men's rowing, record fundraising, record academics. So if that's a rough year for Washington, sign me up because we'll do the same. Other than the turnover in ADs, let's sign me up for this every year. So it's been good, and it's you know, living in the state for 6 years, obviously it's Seattle is, you know, I've been there plenty of times. So and the team's been very welcoming, and getting to know our coaches, I think it's been nice to kind of start kind of at the same time as Jed Fish and Danny Sprinkle, our new men's basketball coach, because, you know, all of us are trying to learn this place together, and all of us know what the standard is. And, you know, at places like Washington, where there's so much history, that we recognize if we can just add one or two more chapters to that history, then it's then we've actually impacted the place.
Well, speaking of history, you obviously have history at Ohio State, or the Ohio State University. And what is it like to kind of be a part of that, kind of coming full circle back to your roots to an extent?
Well, it's the oddity that you know, I grew up in Big Ten country, and now I live in Big Ten country again, which is Seattle. So, you know, for an athletic director, it's just, you know, it's good to, you know, it's good to be with athletic directors that you kind of grew up in the industry with, but it's also great to be with Rob Mullins and Jen Cohen and Martin Jarman again in a room. So it's just, there's just, you know, and you know, someone asked me a question right when I took the job and asked me, how long is it going to take for Washington to be a Big Ten school? And I told him, it's like, you take one walk on our campus on Montlake, and you see the historic buildings, and you know what our rankings are, you know, nationally and globally as an institution, and you know, what we do in research annually, and the med school, and its impact, and a big athletic department. I said, this is actually a Big Ten school. And, you know, for us going forward with our three former Pac-12 colleagues, you know, we have more in common with the schools in the Big Ten than, you know, a lot of the schools that we used to be members with in the Pac-12. So it's, you know, it's where we're at. It's where college football is at 2024. I'm glad we're in the Big Ten. You know, this thing has changed so much in recent years that, you have to be in the Big Ten and you have to be in the SEC if you're going to claim to compete at the highest levels. And, you know, we're appreciative that we're at the highest level of college football and college sports.
Pat Chun is our guest, the athletic director at the University of Washington, from Big Ten Media Days in Indianapolis. You know, Jonathan Smith made the move from Oregon State to Michigan State, and he was asked these questions as well. You know, it's hard. It's got to be hard for you to go just across the state from Washington State to Washington, knowing kind of the situation that Oregon State and Washington State are in with the Pac-2. You know, the footprint of Coug fans here in Vancouver with the Washington State campus down here. What has this transition been like for you as leaving Washington State in the situation that they're in, where they're looking for that new home? And how hard was that for you to leave Pullman and go over to Seattle?
Well, we poured our heart and souls into that endeavor for as long as we did it. But the reality for us is, you know, Kirk Schultz is as good of a person and boss you could work for. You know, to his credit, he was very transparent in the fall of what his timeline was to announce his retirement, and that, you know, there's no forever jobs in this industry. And the reality is an athletic director is tied to his or her president. And that in itself, you know, me and my wife were talking about what's next for us. You know, for us, it's where, you know, got us to really think what's going to be the next step in our, you know, in our careers. And then just as this thing was evolving at the same time, it was clear that, you know, if, you know, we wanted to end up in the Big Ten, and, you know, oddly enough, as fate would have it, if you told me a year ago we'd be in Seattle, I'd say, what the heck are you talking about? But it's just, you know, it's the way the world works. And, you know, my wife reminds me we're clearly meant to be here. But, you know, I take great pride in what we've been able to do at Washington State. I think we're fortunate that staying in Seattle, we made lifelong friends at our Cougs, so yeah, we can stay connected with them, and that's been fantastic. That has made the transition easy. I get it. You know, at the Cougs and the Beavs, the fan bases are extraordinarily passionate, and I totally respect and understand the passion for, you know, someone to shift over. But it's a different day. I mean, it's you know, it's two schools, at least in Washington, there are different conferences, and, you know, at least, you know, and my friends know this at our Cougs, is there's not going to be a moment in any circle that I'm in that I'm not going to advocate and support the Cougs. it's, you know, other than when we're playing them, that's going to be the only time I'm not going to be sporting them.
You talked about how it's just been a whirlwind through these last couple months. A bit of a unique situation in that your head coach of the football team was hired before you. And that's a little bit unique in that typically an AD is in place and is kind of, you know, helping lead that search. What are the unique challenges and opportunities of kind of having you both come in at the same time, but him having him get there before you?
I think that what has helped myself and then with not only with Jed, but with Danny Sprinkle as well is Troy Dannon, who's a friend, wasn't here that long either once he hired them. So it's not like they had deep relationships. It's not like, you know, it's not like Jen Cohen and Kalen DeBoer.
Yeah.
Like she hired them. They were here for a couple of years. So they were still, you know, the both coaches were still getting to know Washington, still getting to know Troy. And then I come in. So, you know, if anything, it's we're all starting anew. So I think that has been a nice bind between the three of us. And, you know, they didn't come here. They came here to do something exceptional. You know, they came here because they believe that Washington is going to be, you know, a huge step in their personal and professional goals. And they feel like they can affect young people, you know, through what we can provide here at Washington. So, you know, it's just, you know, the nice thing is when you sit and talk to them, you know, you can see why they were hired. You know that they're the perfect people at the right time for Washington. And, you know, it's my job and our team's job in athletics to provide an environment that maximizes their performance, their teams, and, you know, allows them to develop their young people at the highest levels.
So as this transition for the four West Coast schools into the Big Ten, you worked for 15 years at Ohio State in the athletic department. What do the fan bases need to get ready for as they transition to heading to the Midwest and Big Ten country? And what can they look forward to with you having the intimate knowledge of the Big Ten as you do?
The environments, well, one, this is just a biased Big Ten take, but my, you know, I think the line of I think one, college football is consolidating into these two conferences. I believe the line of scrimmage play is going to be very different in this league across the board, across the conference schedule, than it would have been in the Pac-12. So I think you just take into account how we're going to look, and the physicality is going to be just a hair different. But I think the environments are all unique, and one of our road games this year is going to be the whiteout at Penn State. You know, I've been a part of those. I think it's why young people sign up to play college football at places like Washington, because you want to play on the biggest stages in the unique environments around college football, and that whiteout's one of them. So as you go around the country, I think the two schools specifically in the Pacific Northwest will see very, very similar fan bases with the same type of love and commitment for their institutions, long-time traditions relative to those institutions as well. Environments that you see when Washington and Oregon strap it up, I think, are environments that you'll see in other environments. So I think, like I said, the fit for Washington, but I believe, the you know, especially for the two Pacific Northwest schools, you know, it's really a northern climate conference. Now, we, like, the two schools won't get the snow that the rest of the conference gets, but it's you know, at least I know both schools, and specific for Washington, though, like, our climate does allow us to at least be prepared for what Big Ten Novembers will bring to us.
With all of the chaos in college football, what is the next thing that as athletic directors and presidents of these universities that you guys are collectively coming forward to, like, to tackle next?
Well, we'll have a new model here once if this settlement with the House case gets approved by Judge Wilkin. We'll be in this revenue share environment, and then every campus will have have their own math equation on how they're going to fund it. If you're in the Big Ten, if you're Washington, I've reminded everyone, you know, the University of Washington has provided the highest level of benefits and services to student athletes in the past, present, and in the future. So we'll have to figure out what that looks like. And, you know, recruiting never stops. So you know, we'll have to make some, you know, we're going to have to sketch out what we're going to look like, because, you know, there's only so much pre-planning you can do when everything is, you know, theoretical. But once that thing gets signed, we'll have to go figure out how to find new revenue streams, which I believe there are opportunities, which I know there are opportunities for us at Washington. And then just what our business model looks like, knowing that player acquisition changes, recruiting changes, because there's a revenue share component to it. And it's we're you know, it's long overdue in college athletics, and we'll figure out how to make sure that we're positioned best possibly for Washington.
You know, when that split eventually happens and it is a new world, what is going to change the most in your job, and what are you trying to figure out is going to be that moving target of the role of the athletic director? Will it change much at all?
No. Well, I think it is. It's an evolving role. I think the things that you do now, you know, they're, you know, it's like I tell everyone, the things, you know, I look at my friend Scott Barnes down in Corvallis. The things he's had to do, you know, for the last year are things, you know, he's, you know, he was, me and him were more conference commissioner for co-conference commissioners for part of this last year than we're athletic director. So, but that's just part of the job. You kind of, you always have to adapt to what's best for your institution and your young people. And, you know, we'll do the same thing. Things are changing. You know, the velocity of change is still at the highest it's been. This rev share piece will still continue more change, but there's going to be more data that's going to have to come out of this, and we'll keep adjusting and adapting. But you know, this isn't an industry. Just how we're structured, it just we're until we ever, if we ever, the only way we can ever have any level of stability if we get congressional help, and obviously that hasn't happened for a reason. And you know, so we're going to have to always kind of adapt to change as market forces pull college athletics, the legal system pulls college athletics. At least this case provides some level of certainty for at least a window. How long that window is probably as long as the next lawsuit comes in.
Well, geez, if anything else, if you ever look for a career change, you can be a CEO of a Fortune 500 company after this now.
It's not one. I'm too shallow. I like sports too much. I like feeling like I know the players and the coaches, and you know, I have a little bit of insight, so I'm too shallow of a person to do that.
I love it. This has been a great conversation, Pat. We really appreciate you taking a few minutes for us down here in Portland, and good luck to you and the Huskies this season and moving forward in the new world of the Big Ten. We should do this again sometime soon.
All right, thank you. Go Dogs.
There it is. Pat Chun, the athletic director at the University of Washington. You can see exactly why he was so great at Florida Atlantic, where he hired Lane Kiffin. Yep. He went to Washington State and kind of ushered them into a new era. And then now he heads over to the University of Washington, where, look, this is not easy for Coug fans. No. But you heard him just lay out exactly why that move was necessary.
There's things we need to talk about that he said. That there were very specific lines that are the words that he used. I made sure to take note of, because they were very specific and they were very charged in what he was trying to communicate.
Yeah, it's not easy for Coug fans, and just like it wasn't easy for B fans to see Jonathan Smith mm-hmm. leave and see him up on the podium for Michigan State. And Bill Orem, who we had on yesterday, had a really good write-up of Jonathan Smith just saying, yeah, there are regrets that I did have in the way that I handled my mm-hmm. departure from Oregon State. It doesn't sound like there's any regrets from Pat Chun and the way he handled it, though, because of what he said and how he outlined it. We'll get to that next. This is Danny and Dusty, Big Ten Media Days edition. Brought to you in part by Legends Casino. Fun is how we roll, right here on 1080 The Fan. Pat Chun, University of Washington Athletic Director, just joined us from Big Ten Media Days. Special thank you to Jason Swigard being down there the last 3 days. It has not been easy for him. He has been had the covers pulled over a few times on him by some of the media handlers down there, but he's took it all in stride. And a special thanks to Swag for going down there, making sure we have all of the interviews that you've heard over the last handful of days coming to our airwaves. It's been awesome. And a special thank you to Nate Kruger at the University of Oregon, who lined up all of the Oregon interviews for us today. Jeff Bechtold at the University of Washington for giving us Pat Chun as well today. But the AD at UW, boy, he sent up some flares into the sky about the future of college athletics.
Had me writing notes real quick. The two words that jumped out immediately sounded very familiar to my prior world working as a business analyst, where he mentioned player acquisitions and business models.
Yep.
And the way he started talking about that sounded like a company that is getting ready to push forward into a public option.
It does, huh?
Like that's legitimately what the first thing I thought was, okay, you're trying to find revenue streams because you're exploring either new product or a new development, or you're cornering a market on something because you're trying to get ready for an IPO. because you want to have something new that you're bringing to market, that you're that you can solely hold of. And it got my brain spinning a million different ways. Like, are we going to see the Big Ten like as a traded commodity? Like, are we going to see a Big Ten stock? Are we going to see an SEC stock?
Well, private equity is something that they've been talking about for quite some time. Mm-hmm. But publicly traded would be completely different if you saw all the major conferences, because then you would have the business model that we've all talked about, is the haves and the have-nots, yep. Right? If the Big Ten and the SEC went to some sort of public model of investment, they would be trading at a far, far higher number than you would see the Big 12, or ACC, the Pac-2, right? Mm-hmm. And at that point, that's kind of how it's been operating, but with just television networks, mm-hmm. media partners of such. And now what we would see is we're entering that. And then he also said government oversight and congressional help
and dictating market forces. And I think that's when, again, you start talking about kind of oversight, that what has that? You're talking about stocks and bonds and market futures and things of that nature. And that's the level that the college sports, particularly college football and college basketball, are going to be operating on going forward. And kind of tying back to the revenue streams, the thing that the business models and revenue streams, what you're talking about there is not the way that UW spends money. It's the way UW collects money, making money, not off the student athletes. You're talking about investment, portfolios, diversification.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Hey, fantasy football owners, I'm Matt Harmon.
And what's cracking up, James Coe? Join us on Reception Perception as we dive deep into wide receivers, the position that will make or break your fantasy team.
Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Joining us now from Lucas Oil Stadium in Indianapolis at Big Ten Media Days is the athletic director of the University of Washington, Pat Chun, kind enough to join us. How you doing, sir?
Just learned Jason was one of the great point guards at University of Puget Sound history.
I'm learning as we go. I did not expect to get thrown into a little bit of Northwest history.
That's co-ed intramural. Yeah,
there we go. It's all the same swag. Yeah. It's all the same.
I had visions of him and Terry Porter kind of being the same player, but I guess maybe I'm thinking of something else.
Look at that. You go, bringing it back around, Wisconsin Stevens Point legend here in Portland, Terry Porter. Pat, look, this has been a whirlwind for you. 4 months on the job at the University of Washington, almost to the day. I believe it was the 27th of March was
good
your first,
scorekeeping. Yeah,
first day on
impressive.
The gig. Now you're almost 4 months in. What has it been like, this transition where – you go from Washington State over to UW and take over this transition into the Big Ten where you have a lot of familiarity with the conference.
Yeah, like today's probably the day that feels most comfortable just being back in the Big Ten and seeing a lot of veteran reporters that were in and around Ohio State when I was there and seeing all these brands and some old faces. But, you know, it has been a very, very seamless transition for me and my family. The nice thing for us is we made lifelong friends that are Cougs that are in Seattle. Also, as you guys know, in the Northwest, Seattle is kind of the epicenter of the state, even though it's west. So, like, my girls have had friends in town for, you know, concerts and volleyball tournaments and soccer tournaments. So, it's been the easiest place for our family to have moved. And for the athletic department, it's you know, I come in at a pretty unique time. It's, you know, we've had turnover in with three ADs, two football coaches, two basketball coaches. But I remind the staff, It's you know, we made it to, you know, this is also an athletic department that won the Pac-12 in football. You know, I'm quick to remind people here that today there's two defending conference champions here today at this media day. We just happen to be the one of the conference that is not what it used to be. And, you know, we won back-to-back men's track and field championships in the Pac-12 and a national championship in men's rowing, record fundraising, record academics. So if that's a rough year for Washington, sign me up because we'll do the same. Other than the turnover in ADs, let's sign me up for this every year. So it's been good, and it's you know, living in the state for 6 years. Obviously, it's Seattle is, you know, I've been there plenty of times. So and the team's been very welcoming, and getting to know our coaches, I think it's been nice to kind of start kind of at the same time as Jed Fish and Danny Sprinkle, our new men's basketball coach, because, you know, all of us are trying to learn this place together, and all of us know what the standard is, and, you know, at places like Washington where there's so much history that we recognize if we can just add one or two more chapters to that history, then it's we've actually impacted the place.
Well, speaking of history, you obviously have history at Ohio State, or the Ohio State University. And what is it like to kind of be a part of that, kind of coming full circle back to your roots to an extent?
Well, it's the oddity that you know, I grew up in Big Ten country, and now I live in Big Ten country again, which is Seattle. So, you know, for an athletic director, it's just, you know, it's good to, you know, it's good to be with athletic directors that you kind of grew up in the industry with, but it's also great to be with Rob Mullins and Jen Cohen and Martin Jarman again in a room. So it's just there's just, you know, and you know, someone asked me a question right when I took the job and asked me how long is it going to take for Washington to be a Big Ten school, and I told him it's like you take one walk on our campus on Montlake and you see the historic buildings and you know what our rankings are, you know, nationally and globally as an institution, and you know, what we do in research annually and the med school and its impact and a big athletic department. I said, this is actually a Big Ten school. And, you know, for us going forward with our three former Pac-12 colleagues, you know, we have more in common with the schools in the Big Ten than, you know, a lot of the schools that we used to be members with in the Pac-12. So it's, you know, it's where we're at. It's where college football is at 2024. I'm glad we're in the Big Ten. You know, this thing has changed so much in recent years that you have to be in the Big Ten and you have to be in the SEC if you're going to claim to compete at the highest levels. And, you know, we're appreciative that we're at the highest level of college football and college sports.
Pat Chun is our guest, the athletic director at the University of Washington from Big Ten Media Days in Indianapolis. You know, Jonathan Smith made the move from Oregon State to Michigan State, and he was asked these questions as well. You know, it's hard. It's got to be hard for you to go just across the state from Washington State to Washington, knowing kind of the situation that Oregon State and Washington State are in with the Pac-2. You know, the footprint of Coug fans here in Vancouver with the Washington State campus down here. What has this transition been like for you as leaving Washington State in the situation that they're in, where they're looking for that new home? And how hard was that for you to leave Pullman and go over to Seattle?
Well, we poured our heart and souls into that endeavor for as long as we did it. But the reality for us is, you know, Kirk Schultz is as good of a person and boss you could work for. You know, to his credit, he was very transparent in the fall of what his timeline was to announce his retirement, and that, you know, there's no forever jobs in this industry. And the reality is an athletic director is tied to his or her president. And that in itself, you know, me and my wife were talking about what's next for us. You know, for us, it's where, you know, got us to really think what's going to be the next step in our, you know, in our careers. And then just as this thing was evolving at the same time, it was clear that, you know, if, you know, we wanted to end up in the Big Ten, and, you know, oddly enough, as fate would have it, I tell people, if you told me a year ago we'd be in Seattle, I'd say, what the heck are you talking about? But it's just, you know, it's the way the world works. And, you know, my wife reminds me we're clearly meant to be here. But, you know, we, you know, it's like, I take great pride in what we've been able to do at Washington State. I think we're fortunate that staying in Seattle, we made lifelong friends at our Cougs, so yeah, we can stay connected with them, and that's been fantastic. That has made the transition easy. I get it. You know, at the Cougs and the Beavs, the fan bases are extraordinarily passionate, and I totally respect and understand the passion for, you know, someone to shift over, but it's a different day. I mean, it's you know, it's two schools, at least in Washington, there are different conferences, and, you know, at least, you know, and my friends know this at our Cougs, is there's not going to be a moment in any circle that I'm in that I'm not going to help, that I'm not going to advocate and support the Cougs. It's, you know, other than when we're playing them, that's going to be the only time I'm not going to be supporting them.
You talked about how it's just been a whirlwind through these last couple months. A bit of a unique situation in that your head coach of the football team was hired before you. And that's a little bit unique in that typically an AD is in place and is kind of, you know, helping lead that search. What are the unique challenges and opportunities of kind of having you both come in at the same time, but him having him get there before you?
I think that what has helped myself, and then with not only with Jed, but with Danny Sprinkle as well, is Troy Dannon, who's a friend, wasn't here that long either once he hired them. So it's not like they had deep relationships. It's not like, you know, it's not like Jen Cohen and Kalen DeBoer.
Yeah.
Like, she hired them. They were here for a couple of years. So it's they were still, you know, both coaches were still getting to know Washington, still getting to know Troy, and then I come in. So, you know, if anything, it's we're all starting anew. So I think that has been a nice bind between the three of us. And, you know, they didn't come here. They came here to do something exceptional. You know, they came here because they believe that Washington is going to be, you know, a huge step in their personal and professional goals. And they feel like they can affect young people, you know, through what we can provide here at Washington. So, you know, it's just, you know, the nice thing is when you sit and talk to them, you know, you can see why they were hired. You know that they're the perfect people at the right time for Washington. And, you know, it's my job and our team's job in athletics to provide an environment that maximizes their performance, their teams, and, you know, allows them to develop their young people at the highest levels.
So as this transition for the four West Coast schools into the Big Ten, you worked for 15 years at Ohio State in the athletic department. What do the fan bases need to get ready for as they transition to heading to the Midwest and Big Ten country? And what can they look forward to with you having the intimate knowledge of the Big Ten as you do?
The environments, well, one, this is just a biased Big Ten take, but my, you know, I think the line of I think one, college football is consolidating into these two conferences. I believe the line of scrimmage play is going to be very different in this league across the board, across the conference schedule, than it would have been in the Pac-12. So I think you just take into account how we're going to look, and the physicality is going to be just a hair different. But I think the environments are all unique, and you know, one of our road games this year is going to be the whiteout at Penn State. You know, I've been a part of those. I think it's why young people sign up to play college football at places like Washington, because you want to play on the biggest stages in the unique environments around college football, and that whiteout's one of them. So as you go around the country, I think the two schools specifically in the Pacific Northwest will see very, very similar fan bases with the same type of love and commitment for their institutions, long-time traditions relative to those institutions as well. Environments that you see when Washington and Oregon strap it up, I think, are environments that you'll see in other environments. So I think, like I said, the fit for Washington, but I believe, the you know, especially for the two Pacific Northwest schools, you know, it's really a northern climate conference. Now, we, like, the two schools won't get the snow that the rest of the conference gets, but it's you know, at least I know both schools, and specific for Washington, though, like, our climate does allow us to at least be prepared for what Big Ten Novembers will bring to us.
With all of the chaos in college football, what is the next thing that that as athletic directors and presidents of these universities that you guys are collectively coming forward to like to tackle next?
Well, we'll have a new model here once if this settlement with the House case gets approved by Judge Wilkin, we'll be in this revenue share environment, and then every campus will have we'll have their own math equation on how they're going to fund it. If you're in the Big Ten, if you're Washington, I've reminded everyone, you know, the University of Washington has provided the highest level of benefits and services to student athletes in the past, present, and in the future. So we'll have to figure out what that looks like. And, you know, recruiting never stops. So you know, we'll have to make some, you know, we're going to have to sketch out what we're going to look like because, you know, there's only so much pre-planning you can do when everything is, you know, theoretical. But once that thing gets signed, we'll have to go figure out how to find new revenue streams, which I believe there are opportunities, which I know there are opportunities for us at Washington. And then just what our business model looks like, knowing that player acquisition changes, recruiting changes because there's a revenue share component to it. And it's long overdue in college athletics, and we'll figure out how to make sure that we're positioned best possibly for Washington.
You know, when that split eventually happens and it is a new world, what is going to change the most in your job, and what are you trying to figure out is going to be that moving target of the role of the athletic director? Will it change much at all?
No. Well, I think it's an evolving role. I think the things that you do now, you know, it's like I tell everyone the things, you know, I look at my friend Scott Barnes down in Corvallis, the things he's had to do, you know, for the last year are things, you know, me and him were more co-conference commissioners for part of this last year than we're athletic directors. So, but that's just part of the job. You always have to adapt to what's best for your institution and your young people. And, you know, we'll do the same thing. Things are changing. The velocity of change is still at the highest it's been. This rev share piece will still continue more change, but there's going to be more data that's going to have to come out of this, and we'll keep adjusting and adapting. But you know, this isn't an industry. Just how we're structured, it just the only way we can ever have any level of stability if we get congressional help, and obviously that hasn't happened for a reason. And you know, so we're going to have to always kind of adapt to change as market forces pull college athletics, the legal system pulls college athletics. At least this case provides some level of certainty for at least a window. How long that window is probably as long as the next lawsuit comes in.
Well, geez, if anything else, if you ever look for a career change, you can be a CEO of a Fortune 500 company after this now.
It's not one. I'm too shallow. I like sports too much. I like feeling like I know the players and the coaches, and I have a little bit of insight, so I'm too shallow of a person to do that.
I love it. This has been a great conversation, Pat. We really appreciate you taking a few minutes for us down here in Portland, and good luck to you and the Huskies this season and moving forward in the new world of the Big Ten. We should do this again sometime soon.
All right, thank you. Go Dogs.
There it is. Pat Chun, the athletic director at the University of Washington. You can see exactly why he was so great at Florida Atlantic, where he hired Lane Kiffin. Yep. He went to Washington State and kind of ushered them into a new era. And then now he heads over to the University of Washington, where, look, this is not easy for Coug fans. No. But you heard him just lay out exactly why that move was necessary.
There's things we need to talk about that he said. That there were very specific lines that are the words that he used. I made sure to take note of, because they were very specific and they were very charged in what he was trying to communicate.
Yeah, it's not easy for Coug fans, and just like it wasn't easy for B fans to see Jonathan Smith mm-hmm. leave and see him up on the podium for Michigan State. And Bill Orem, who we had on yesterday, had a really good write-up of Jonathan Smith just saying, yeah, there are regrets that I did have in the way that I handled my mm-hmm. departure from Oregon State. It doesn't sound like there's any regrets from Pat Chun and the way he handled it, though, because of what he said and how he outlined it. We'll get to that next. This is Danny and Dusty, Big Ten Media Days edition. Brought to you in part by Legends Casino. Fun is how we roll, right here on 1080 The Fan. Pat Chun, University of Washington Athletic Director, just joined us from Big Ten Media Days. Special thank you to Jason Swigard being down there the last 3 days. It has not been easy for him. He has been had the covers pulled over a few times on him by some of the media handlers down there, but he's took it all in stride. And a special thanks to Swag for going down there, making sure we have all of the interviews that you've heard over the last handful of days coming to our airwaves. It's been awesome. And a special thank you to Nate Kruger at the University of Oregon, who lined up all of the Oregon interviews for us today. Jeff Bechtold at the University of Washington for giving us Pat Chun as well today. But the AD at UW, boy, he sent up some flares into the sky about the future of college athletics.
Had me writing notes real quick. The two words that jumped out immediately were, sounded very familiar to my prior world working as a business analyst, where he mentioned player acquisitions and business models.
Yep.
And the way he started talking about that sounded like a company that is getting ready to push forward into a public option.
It does, huh?
Like that's legitimately what the first thing I thought was, okay, you're trying to find revenue streams because you're exploring either new product or a new development, or you're cornering a market on something because you're trying to get ready for an IPO because you want to have something new that you're bringing to market that you can solely hold of. And it got my brain spinning a million different ways. Like, are we going to see the Big Ten like as a traded commodity? Like, are we going to see a Big Ten stock? Are we going to see an SEC stock?
Well, private equity is something that they've been talking about for quite some time. Mm-hmm. But publicly traded would be completely different if you saw all the major conferences, because then you would have the business model that we've all talked about, is the haves and the have-nots, right? If the Big Ten and the SEC went to some sort of public model of investment, they would be trading at a far, far higher number than you would see the
Big 12,
ACC, the Pac-2, right? Mm-hmm. And at that point, that's kind of how it's been operating, but with just television networks, mm-hmm. media partners of such. And now what we would see is we're entering that. And then he also said government oversight and congressional help
and dictating market forces. And I think that's when, again, you start talking about kind of oversight, that what has that? You're talking about stocks and bonds and market futures and things of that nature. And that's the level that the college sports, particularly college football and college basketball, are going to be operating on going forward. And kind of tying back to the revenue streams, the thing that the business models and revenue streams, what you're talking about there is not the way that UW spends money. It's the way UW collects money, making money, not off the student athletes. You're talking about investment, portfolios, diversification, building businesses within the football program, within the basketball program. And those are very, 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 like, look, we want to talk about the money in sports and how it's always been there. Yes, absolutely. This is unchartered, brand new, wholly different landscape.
Well, and the congressional help that he is asking for is, and we need to figure out, okay, we need you to tell us what our cap is, our salary cap of sorts, because of the fact that most of these, unlike, you know, the NFL or Major League Baseball or the NBA, these are all public universities. In large part, right? There's only a handful of private institutions that operate in the world of college athletics. And so that's where that oversight is going to have to be needed and helped. But like Mac Brown said it today, amateurism is gone. We're the mini NFL. Like, that is the most short-sighted thing ever, because college football has been a multi-billion dollar industry for decades now. And amateurism was gone long before that. Mac, amateurism was gone when you were at Texas giving bags of money to players.
Mac, how did you get Vince?
You know,
seriously, like that's really what we're going to do here.
And this is that idea of what the new world of college athletics will look like moving forward, is it will be operated as a business, and you cannot ignore it. And the people that have been for too long, they're getting weeded out of the landscape of college athletics. And, it is going to be it's uncharted territory for sure. And that's why I asked him, like, hey, when you look at what his job is going to be and how it's going to change, like, what does that look like? And he's like, it's been ever evolving. Think about when he got in and was an associate athletic director at Ohio State in 1997 is when Pat Chun started there. The world of college athletics that was right at the beginning of the Ed O'Bannon lawsuits. And that is when you started to see, like, that year was, hey, players were going, hey, we should be getting a chunk of this, right? We deserve a little bit off the top. And then you had the beginning of the 2000s, people were trying to hold on to amateurism. And then the late 2000s, and eventually when he got hired on as the athletic director at FAU back in 2012, was, we're in the thick of the Ed O'Bannon lawsuits. And that's the world that he has operated in as an administrator. Like, as a true athletic director, was, this world is changing. And there's going to be a lot of athletic departments that get left behind because they've had old guard people in for too long. And we've seen so much turnover in the AD role, especially. We talk about, coaches, AD roles, they turn over, boom, just as quick. You think of UW as a great example. Jen Cohen leaves UW to go down to USC. They bring in Troy Dannon from Tulane. The Oregon game in Seattle, they introduced Troy Dannon as the athletic director of UW.
Mm-hmm.
He gone. That's how quick it happened. And then in March, they're on their third athletic director in a calendar year at the University of Washington. It happens quickly.
Yeah.
And because the job is so different now, and you better have somebody in there who knows what they're doing and has a grasp on what the world and landscape will look like moving forward. And if you're a UW fan or an alum, you have to listen to Pat Chun and say, we have somebody that gets it.
Well, that was one of the things that he did say that I thought was interesting, is that he's clearly a very progressive, forward-looking thinker in the sense of the college football landscape. But he also said, you can't plan for the unknown while also saying, I know we have revenue streams.
Yep.
So there, he kind of slipped that in there of like, yeah, this is Lincoln Riley saying the quiet part out loud, where Pat didn't say the quiet part out loud. The second the legality of this all is mapped out, don't be surprised when Washington hits the ground running, because they've got all these programs in place. They've got all these business plans in place to make things happen on the financial side of things.
All right, let's get to hour number four of our 5-hour marathon Big Ten Media Days. Roll on. Danny Dusty on the Fan. Pat Chun, University of Washington athletic director, just joined us from Big Ten Media Days. Special thank you to Jason Swigard being down there the last 3 days. It has not been easy for him. He has been had the covers pulled over a few times on him by some of the media handlers down there. But he's took it all in stride. And a special thanks to Swag for going down there, making sure we have all of the interviews that you've heard over the last handful of days coming to our airwaves. It's been awesome. And a special thank you to Nate Kruger at the University of Oregon, who lined up all of the Oregon interviews for us today. Jeff Bechtold at the University of Washington for giving us Pat Chun as well today. But the AD at UW, boy, he sent up some flares into the sky about the future of college athletics.
Had me writing notes real quick. The two words that jumped out immediately were, sounded very familiar to my prior world working as a business analyst, where he mentioned player acquisitions and business models.
Yep.
And the way he started talking about that sounded like a company that is getting ready to push forward into a public option.
It does, huh?
Like that's legitimately what the first thing I thought was, okay, you're trying to find revenue streams because you're exploring either new product or a new development, or you're cornering a market on something because you're trying to get ready for an IPO, because you want to have something new that you're bringing to market that you can solely hold of. And it got my brain spinning a million different ways. Like, are we going to see the Big Ten like as a traded commodity? Like, are we going to see a Big Ten stock? Are we going to see an SEC stock?
Well, private equity is something that they've been talking about for quite some time, but publicly traded would be completely different if you saw all the major conferences, because then you would have the business model that we've all talked about, is the haves and the have-nots, right? If the Big Ten and the SEC went to some sort of public model of investment, they would be trading at a far, far higher number than you would see the
ACC
Big 12,
and Big 12.
ACC, the Pac-2, right? Mm-hmm. And at that point, that's kind of how it's been operating, but with just television networks, media partners of such. And now what we would see is we're entering that. And then he also said government oversight and congressional help.
Congressional help and dictating market forces. And I think that's when, again, you start talking about kind of oversight. That what has that? You're talking about stocks and bonds and market futures and things of that nature. And that's the level that the college sports, particularly college football and college basketball, are going to be operating on going forward. And kind of tying back to the revenue streams, the thing that the business models and revenue streams, what you're talking about there is not the way that UW spends money. It's the way UW collects money, making money, not off the student athletes. You're talking about investment, portfolios, yeah, diversification, building businesses within the football program, within the basketball program. And that's, those are very, 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 like, look, we want to talk about the money in sports and how it's always been there. Yes, absolutely. This is uncharted, brand new, wholly different landscape.
Well, and the congressional help that he is asking for is, and we need to figure out, okay, we need you to tell us what our cap is, our salary cap of sorts, because of the fact that most of these, unlike, you know, the NFL or Major League Baseball or the NBA, these are all public universities. In large part, right? There's only a handful of private institutions that operate in the world of college athletics. And so that's where that oversight is going to have to be needed and helped. But like Mac Brown said it today, amateurism is gone. We're the mini NFL. Like, that is the most short-sighted thing ever, because college football has been a multi-billion dollar industry for decades years. Now. And amateurism was gone long before that. Mac, amateurism was gone when you were at Texas, yeah, Mac, giving bags of money to players.
Mac, how did you get Vince?
You know,
seriously, like that's really what we're going to do here.
And this is that idea of what the new world of college athletics will look like moving forward, is it will be operated as a business, and you cannot ignore it. And the people that have been for too long, they're getting weeded out of the landscape of college athletics. And, it is going to be it's uncharted territory for sure. And that's why I asked him, like, hey, when you look at what his job is going to be and how it's going to change, like, what does that look like? And he's like, it's been ever evolving. Think about when he got in and was an associate athletic director at Ohio State in 1997 is when Pat Chun started there. The world of college athletics that was right at the beginning of the Ed O'Bannon lawsuits. And that is when you started to see, like, that year was, hey, players were going, hey, we should be getting a chunk of this, right? We deserve a little bit off the top. And then you had the beginning of the 2000s, people were trying to hold on to amateurism. And then the late 2000s, and eventually when he got hired on as the athletic director at FAU back in 2012, was, we're in the thick of the Ed O'Bannon lawsuits, and that's the world that he has operated in as an administrator. Like, as a true athletic director, this world is changing, and there's going to be a lot of athletic departments that get left behind because they've had old guard people in for too long. And we've seen so much turnover in the AD role, especially. We talk about, you know, coaches. AD roles, they turn over, boom, just as quick. You think of UW as a great example. Jen Cohen leaves UW to go down to USC. They bring in Troy Dannon from Tulane. The Oregon game in Seattle, they introduced Troy Dannon as the athletic director of UW.
Mm-hmm.
He gone. That's how quick it happened. And then in March, they're on their third athletic director in a calendar year at the University of Washington. It happens quickly.
Yeah.
And because the job is so different now, and you better have somebody in there who knows what they're doing and has a grasp on what the world and landscape will look like moving forward. And if you're a UW fan or an alum, you have to listen to Pat Chun and say, we have somebody that gets it.
Well, that was one of the things that he did say that I thought was interesting, is that he's clearly a very progressive, forward-looking thinker in the sense of the college football landscape, but he also said you can't plan for the unknown while also saying, I know we have revenue streams.
Yep.
So there, he kind of slipped that in there of like, yeah, this is Lincoln Riley saying the quiet part out loud, where Pat didn't say the quiet part out loud. The second the legality of this all is mapped out, don't be surprised when Washington hits the ground running, because they've got all these programs in place. They've got all these business plans in place to make things happen on the financial side of things.
All right, let's get to hour number four of our five-hour marathon Big Ten Media Days. Roll on. Danny Dusty on the Fan.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Hey, fantasy football owners, anybody can tell you what a good fantasy quarterback looks like, but it's the receivers that make or break your team. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that matters most, wide receivers. From the route trees to who plays better in man or zone, we provide the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.